$50 million gross that would have triggered the bonus. Still, it's hard to see what was so important about missing a deadline by a day when the two sides were so close to reaching a deal and Susan had ultimately capitulated to Disney's demands. Although Hollywood Records released Hilary Duff's album, Metamorphosis, her next film project, a remake of Cheaper by the Dozen, went to 20th Century Fox. Lizzie McGuire continued in reruns, but the once promising marketing juggernaut expired. Disney turned to its next candidate for cable crossover stardom, the Disney Channel's Raven Simone, star of She's So Raven, who'd begun her acting career as a three-year-old in The Cosby Show. Even better, as Eisner pointed out, Disney should promote an animated character who made no demands and had no mother. Kim Possible, the tween superhero of Kim Possible. On June 11, 2003, Eisner has invited me to a creative meeting of the feature animation team, led by Schumacher's replacement, David Stainton. Eisner usually attends these meetings once or twice a month. Roy isn't there, although Stainton says he would have been welcome. Roy says he was told to stay away from the meetings after Schumacher left. This is a lunch meeting. The group picks up sandwiches and beverages and sits around a conference table. On an easel are boards with upcoming release schedules, Teacher's Pet and The Incredibles for 2004, Heffalump for 2005. Stainton notes that Heffalump is based on a Winnie the Pooh character. "We've never done a Heffalump," he says. "Consumer Products wants more characters." Eisner nods. "Get Consumer Products behind this," he urges. Pam Coates says she has a new title for another project, Angel and Her No-Good Sister. Dolly Parton is the voice of one of the characters. "It's cute," Eisner says, "but it feels small." "I like it," Stainton injects. "It's automatic conflict." Eisner nods. "I like it. The title changes the whole movie." They turn to a discussion of the script. "We don't want you to shoot this down," Coates tells Eisner. He'd read two acts of Angel and hadn't liked it. The story revolves around a curse of the blue egg. "In the current version," Coates explains, "Elgin says love can overcome the curse. He gets knocked out. They haul Elgin to Rose." "What do you mean, knocked out?" Eisner asks. "He can't be unconscious for 3 days. He can't be in a coma or on life support." Someone explains, "It's a Gulliver's travel thing." "He can't be out cold," Eisner continues. "It keeps the love story alive," Coates practically pleads. "Well, I like the Gulliver's travels angle," Eisner says, though he doesn't sound convinced. Three features are vying for the Christmas 2006 release date: Gnomeo and Juliet, Fraidy Cat, and Wilbur Robinson. "I'm not in love with any of them," Eisner says. Stainton points out that Gnomeo and Juliet has Elton John writing the score. "Can we get three hits out of Elton?" Eisner asks. Stainton volunteers that Chris Montan, president of Walt Disney Music, is beating up Elton on this. "He likes the first two songs. Elton is on his game." The discussion turns to Christmas 2007.